Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Welcome back. So today's episode is a little different. The day this goes live, I'm in Grapevine, Texas at the Gartner IAM conference, moderating a panel called What I Wish I Knew When I Started in Identity. Now, I'm going to be on stage with Elizabeth Garber and Andrew Cameron, two people who each have been having significant influence on how digital identity takes shape in their corners of the world. Now, preparing for this panel meant asking myself the same questions that I'll be asking them. And as I sat down with those questions, I thought, hey, this might actually make a pretty good conversation in my blog and audio blog. So today I'm going to share what I wish I'd known when I first stepped into this field. Now, before we get to these questions, though, it's worth talking about why I think this matters now, because the timing here isn't accidental, right? There is something shifting in this industry, and that shift brings a lot of new people into the field of digital identity for the very first time. Now, maybe it's because I'm in the middle of so many overlapping projects right now, but I am seeing real change in who cares about digital identity. And for a very long time, it kind of lived in its own quiet corner of the world. Important, yes, but mostly relevant to IAM teams and the communities that keep standards moving forward. And it felt like this was almost all at once, it became the thread that just ran through everything and everybody knew it. People want to figure out how to identify, authenticate, and authorize AI bots. Folks are responding to new age verification requirements and trying to understand what, quote unquote, responsible even looks like. Teams are waking up to the fact that wallets and passkeys and major browser changes are going to shape their users' experience, whether that's what they want or not. Now, identity is pulling in people from products, from security, from payments, from fraud, from content governance. People who may not have actually expected to engage with digital identity, but suddenly need to. And when a wave of newcomers arrive in a field that's already pretty complicated, they look around and often think, well, gosh, where do I even begin? So this panel isn't going to be just a fun conference session, though of course it will be. I mean, it's actually a moment to offer some real guidance. And when I drafted my own answers, it felt like something worth sharing a little bit more broadly. So there's a bit of unofficial wisdom in the identity world that says it takes about 2 to 3 years to feel proficient in IAM. And we get those numbers from the ID Pro's skills survey, which was done for several years. I want to say from like 2018 until last year. And that's just the IAM slice, right? Provisioning, access control, directories. The bigger digital identity picture is actually much broader than even that, and most newcomers have no idea what they're stepping into. They probably think they're going to learn a couple protocols, read some documents, get familiar with a few acronyms, and instead they land in this space that asks them to understand policy, trust frameworks, cross-border regulation, governance models, all these things that have been evolving for decades and therefore are built on a whole lot of assumptions that, as is the nature of assumptions, they assume you know. And suddenly these new people are discovering that the answer to even the simplest question is, well, it depends. I mean, the most common thing I hear from people in their first year is something like, I had no idea this was this complicated. And they are absolutely right. Identity is messy. It's interesting. It's political. It's global. And it's occasionally very maddening in ways that feel very personal. But the good news is the people who stay in identity tend to be very generous, curious, and open. They do remember what it was like to feel overwhelmed because sometimes they're still feeling overwhelmed and they're often the very first to say, let me tell you how this came about. And that's the spirit I actually wanted to bring to this panel and to this particular post. So the first question that I'm intending to ask on this panel is, what's one misconception that you had about digital identity early in your career that you later had to unlearn? Well, for me, that answer, you know, I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty easy. I believed that everyone understood how important digital identity was. My first job in tech was as a Galacticomm bulletin board systems operator. If you actually Google that, I don't think you're actually going to find anything at this point because this was back in the 90s and no one uses this anymore. It was a very long time ago. But even then, my job revolved around two things: managing the accounts and deciding what those accounts could do. And that pattern really, I felt like, followed me everywhere. Every tech job I've ever had eventually circled back to those questions: who is this user and what can they access? And because I started that way, I assumed everybody thought about technology through the lens of a digital identity as well. But as it turns out, most people don't. They think about what the service does. It's an email service. It's a commerce service. It's a content publishing service. They're not thinking about the identity plumbing underneath. To them, identity is invisible until that moment something breaks. And it took me a long time to realize that what feels foundational to me is not where most people begin. And once I understood that, I stopped assuming a shared context and tried to start building it instead. And that shift did make the conversations a little bit easier. So the next question that I am going to be asking is, if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice about navigating standards and vendors and community expectations in this space, what would it be? Well, for this one, it was another pretty simple thing for me to jump out at, and that was to be, don't be so intimidated. When I first walked into a standards meeting, I mean, people seemed just impossibly knowledgeable. They spoke in shorthand. They remembered every failed protocol and every promise idea that went nowhere. They had inside jokes, and I spent more time worried about looking stupid than I actually spent learning something, which is rather embarrassing to admit, but there you go. So here's the thing I wish I had understood earlier, and that's that the people who've been in identity the longest are actually often the most approachable, and many of them are still here because they believe deeply in collaboration. They enjoy these conversations. They want new voices in the room, and they've all had moments, and possibly are having moments, when they didn't know what they were doing either. Now, once I stopped, you know, performing and, you know, sitting quietly as if I knew what was going on when I didn't, and actually started answering honest questions, everything did change. Those conversations helped me understand not just how things work, but why they work the way they do. They gave me a sense of the history and the motivations behind decisions that might look strange at first glance. So if I could just go back, I'd tell myself to be a little bit braver a lot earlier. Digital identity isn't a field you want to go at on your own. It's one that you grow into with a lot of help. So, third question. Identity often involves trade-offs. So what's the trade-off you didn't fully appreciate at the beginning, and how has it changed your thinking over time? I don't know what the other folks are going to be answering. You'll find out on later too, I suppose, if you're at the conference. But for me, the answer here is it's a risk. I understood that risk was important, but I didn't really appreciate how differently people experience or understand it. Now, some people are exceptionally good at seeing risk. Honestly, they're too good at seeing risk. They see so many potential issues that they end up frozen, convinced that any change is a threat. Other people, right, they are terrible at seeing risk, and they assume that everything is going to go smoothly because they've never personally lived through the moment where it didn't. And that's where the what could possibly go wrong energy would show up right before something actually does. Anyway, these people don't get that. They don't ask that question, what could possibly go wrong, because nothing has gone wrong. So I spent years expecting people to naturally meet in the middle. They don't. Risk isn't purely analytical. In some ways, it's very emotional. It's very experiential. It's shaped by personal history. Yes, you can study how to do this better, but humans are going to human. And there's definitely a certain amount of deep understanding that you have to come to in order to actually be able to figure out the balance here. Now, understanding this helped me reframe maybe not how I talk about risk, but certainly how I personally appreciate it. It has helped me shift conversations from fear or denial or entirely happy path into something a little bit more balanced. And it's taught me that people don't always mean to be difficult. Sometimes they do, but we'll put that aside for now. They're responding to uncertainty in the best way that they know how. Working in the field of identity forces you to learn this because every decision you make touches something else. And you'll see the ripple effects up close and personal. Okay, next question. Who or what helped you understand that identity is bigger than authentication and authorization? Well, my earliest influences came from the research and education space. So if you were involved in federated identity back in the early 2000s, then names like Scott Cantor, Tom Barton, Ken Klingenstein, Michael Geddes, Lucy Lynch, those names will mean something to you. The Internet 2 MACE community was full of people who understood that identity isn't technical, it's social, it's collaborative, it requires governance as much as it requires code, and sometimes it involved a lot of paper airplanes that we would just fly around the room. I mean, working in that environment made it very clear that identity shapes how communities operate. It's how institutions make decisions about who belongs and what trust looks like. It's where policy and technical design have to coexist, whether they like each other or not. And those people in that community helped me understand that very, very well. That early exposure did definitely influence how I think about everything in the digital identity space, and it made me far more sensitive to the human side of identity in terms of how trust is established, how boundaries are enforced, and how communities are involved. I mean, authentication and authorization are essential, but ultimately they're only part of that big picture. Okay, finally, one more question. Looking at where identity is headed, what do you hope people starting today learn faster than we did when we were just starting out? So if I had to pick just one thing, it would be that you have to think locally and globally at the same time. Yes, you are solving your immediate problems, your onboarding flows, your directory cleanups, your access policies, but the forces shaping your future or the decisions you're making as you are fixing your onboarding flows or your directory cleanups or your access policies are so much bigger, right? Regulations in another region are absolutely going to affect you. Standards being debated half a world away will show up in your roadmap sooner than you expect. And platform changes you didn't vote on will rewrite your assumptions overnight. Digital identity isn't a static field, and the sooner newcomers realize this, the quicker they'll be able to create systems that survive change rather than just sort of crumble underneath it. And honestly, I think that makes the work a lot more interesting. When you understand that there are global influences, right, you start to see identity not as a series of independent projects, but as an ecosystem that you are helping to shape. So preparing for this Gartner panel made me reflect on all the conversations and mistakes and hallway debates and moments of panic that helped shape my own understanding of digital identity. And everything I know now came from other people. People willing to share their time, their stories, and occasionally their cautionary tales. So if you are new to this field, I hope something here makes that climb a little bit easier. And if you're at Gartner IAM this week, come find me. I'm always happy to talk about this field, especially with people who are just starting to discover how big and interesting it really is. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you up again next time. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.